Are you inadvertently creating or raising a child who will be dependent upon you the rest of their lives? We're going to talk today about raising an independent child.
You're listening to Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, and we're talking about independence. Do you think this is an American concept?
Wow, you came right out of the box with something I have no clue. Why did you do that? Could we stop just right here and go back
throwing
and
the
erase
the cultural
everything?
Card yeah. there, you know?
I don't know. I do know this. We do want to, and this is where we could debate, we do want to raise a child who loves his family, but he or she can grow up and be independent because they need to become one with somebody else. A man is to leave his father and mother. And so there needs to be a child who is not dependent on them, and there's a process there. I'm sure that if the cultures process it differently. I know Rosemary growing up in the Japanese culture, they really baby the children the first 5 years. I mean, they get away with anything, and then there's like a knee-jerk man at about 5 years old where everything turns a corner, and it's very, very strict and academic from that point on.
Wow.
I think that the concept we want to think through this week is that our children eventually are going out the door, and our children eventually need to be able to function on their own. And our children eventually need to be what we could call independent, but really dependent on God, not on parents.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the challenges today, especially in today's culture, is that children have grown to expect a lifestyle that they walked away from when they went off to college, but don't realize their parents took 20 years to get to that lifestyle. And they become quickly very dependent or very requesting of their parents to help them maintain that lifestyle. Can I come home because I don't want to sell my Corvette, whatever it is. And so we want to raise children who are able to function out there. And that starts at a very early age, and that starts very intentionally.
So real quick, can you just define what you would consider then dependent as an adult? Just a few more details.
A dependent adult is an adult that can't make adult decisions, and they have to have their parents help them or bail them out, or a dependent adult is not really marriageable because of their, you know, mommy, and doesn't know how to cut those strings when they get married. It makes it very difficult. An independent adult still honors their parents, still loves their parents, still takes their parents' advice, but they're fully functioning people. We're in a culture that doesn't do that anymore. We really don't allow our children or facilitate our children with the training process of making some decisions on their own, of handling some decisions, of handling some things in their lives. And so we've got to back up and realize, yes, there is that attachment time during the first couple of years of life. But then all of a sudden, there's this slow two-decade process of slowly giving them more and more freedom, letting them make more and more decisions. And here's the hard part, letting them make more and more mistakes. You know, the book that was out a couple of years ago, The Value of a Skinned Knee, I've got a little bit wrong in the title.
Skinned Knee?
The Value of a Skinned Knee, written by a secular psychiatrist. It's a great book, and she's just talking about the value of skinning your knee in life, of growing up and making mistakes, and the value of a little bit of pain in life, and the value of failure. But we don't do that in our culture because I think mom's self-esteem is so wrapped in the success of the child and almost guilts them into, after all I've done for you. And what we really need to see is there is a time when the child comes off the conveyor belt. We're not going to be on the conveyor belt with that child all their lives, hopefully. I think the military, especially for the American male, when there was a draft, really helped the American male because all of a sudden he learned to be independent.
Mm-hmm.
And again, let me say, because, you know, I'm looking at you, a mom, and this topic could actually be painful for you. And I'm thinking about Rosemary and watching our kids go out the door, and it was painful for her. It was painful for me, but we knew that they're leaving. So aren't we supposed to be preparing them to be able to function when they leave?
Mm-hmm.
And aren't we supposed to be raising them to be able to make decisions?
The elephant in the room, though, is what happened. My adult child went to college and came out and can't find a job. The economy's bad, so they're back home. Does this mean that they're dependent, or is this just a circumstantial thing sometimes?
That's a family situation, I believe. But I also would not want to enable that forever. Ironically, I talked to a couple weeks ago where their adult child's just gotten used to not working. And then they actually facilitated that by giving him money when he could do some things out there. I mean, there are people finding jobs just because they believe I've got a college degree, I shouldn't be flipping burgers. They need to really allow that child the privilege of a little bit of independence by you can stay here. The minute you get a job and you're here, though, you're going to help with the rent. I mean, that my dad was amazing at that. We'd come home from college. I came home from college one summer. He allowed us to help pay the electric bill. And my brother and I were turning lights off. And my dad didn't need the help at all. He was very well off financially. But he was creating us with an awareness of these things that you take for granted cost.
Right.
And so I think we are in a time like that. And I think it's great to help. I had one of my children and that child's spouse live with us for 26 months, 11 days, and 14 hours.
Wow. Somebody counted.
No, I'm kidding. But they did, but it was 26 months. It was great. It was great. Because, you know, Roby was in seminary, and when he was in seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, and houses were $100,000. He gets called to be a pastor here, and he all of a sudden realizes what houses cost here. And my suggestion was, why don't you live with us for a period of time as long as you're saving your money? And he saved a lot of money, and 20s, a lot of money. Kind of shocked me. I mean, they didn't do anything but help with the groceries. They didn't go anywhere, do anything for 26 months, he and Rebecca. And I gained a whole new respect for watching the way they tightened it up. And bam, I mean, bought a house, but there was a purpose, there was intention in that. And that intention was independence down the road. I think as parents, we need to be thinking in the things we do. I want my child to be a leader. A leader doesn't follow people, doesn't follow desires, doesn't follow urges, doesn't follow fears. I'm too afraid to try and to risk. A leader is someone who knows how to make decisions independent of the people around them and dependent only on God. I mean, Tim Keller's new book, Blessed Self-Forgetfulness, is an amazing book that talks about this, what puffs you up, because whatever you allow to puff you up can also explode. And he talks about that Greek word of pride that's puffed up or overinflated picture there, and wanting to be independent even of the praise of others. Thank you. But and independent of the, I'm only worthy because of how well I did on that test.
So it goes both ways. For some personalities, they puff themselves up, and others, they please others so they can.
I think without realizing it, we are taught where we go to for our pride and our self-esteem and what we want. And actually, it was C.S. Lewis that said a gospel esteem is what we want. And in that, a gospel humility is what he called it. And in that, it's God and God alone. And Paul says that, you know, in that Corinthians passage, it doesn't really matter what you think. Actually, it doesn't really matter what I think. It all matters what God thinks. I think it's 1 Corinthians 3, and I'm here for that. I want my children, I don't want to raise a dependency upon us. I want to raise an individual who is an individual thinker. But that means, and we'll talk about this in the days to come, I need to allow them to have opinions out loud. My children have opinions, especially a 14-year-old daughter has opinions. And I want to know that opinion, and I want to permit that opinion. And I'm still in charge of the house. And as for me in my house, we will serve the Lord. But I want her to practice, express that opinion. Tell me why you think you should wear that. I mean, tell me what that means. And so you learn an independence, because in our culture today, we are so easily marketed to believe stuff. And we're so easily marketed to believe stuff on who to vote for and what will make us feel good and what we should buy and what we should drive and on and on and on and on. Where we are a very dependent culture on the applause of conforming to the pattern of this culture. And Romans 12:1 says, don't do that. Don't conform to the pattern of this culture. So I want to have in my mind the decisions I make for my children, will this make them more dependent on us because I'm just snapping my fingers, or will this make them start the process of becoming independent? And the things and the training I put in their life, how will that help them be independent so they can be used by God, not led with a hook in the nose by the culture?
Now, you said earlier, though, you don't do this at the very beginning stages of their life. It's kind of progressively trying to hand them off because, you know, you don't want a two-year-old being so independent. I mean, there are those personality types, parents, you know, I can do it. I can do it. But
well, I think we need to let them try to do it. And the failure of Roby, me do it, daddy, me do it, of him trying to tie his shoes and then throwing one across the room at 4 years old. And there are moments when you just let them see that. But no, the newborn child is very dependent, and that dependency is part of the self-esteem. I know there are, have been, not much anymore, but Christian parenting approaches that tell you instantly, you know, put a feeding time schedule, do this, 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 and this. And wow. And fortunately, there was a man named Dr. William Sears, a pediatrician who's America's Christian pediatrician, which is a great website to go to, by the way. Dr. William Sears came out and said, no, wait a minute. That's the early stages. We'll get there. But this attachment is necessary. This child's brand new out there. And part of their self-esteem is my mom loves me unconditionally. And so there are those beginning stages of life where they are dependent and they are attaching, and that's okay. Slowly you detach them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's Tori saying to me, why did you send me to Kanakuk, sports camp? And I said, I sent you to Kanakuk. She says, was it for tennis or why did you, or volleyball? Or,
how old is she?
She was 13, maybe 12 okay. or 13.
And during the summer?
We started sending her away during the summer for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And we sent her when her uncle out in Los Angeles, Rosemary's brother, a pastor, had their first child. And we sent her out there to help for a little bit of the summer. And she just wasn't into the whole Canada thing. And I said, well, you know, it really had nothing to do with the sports. It had everything to do with giving you practice being away so that when you went to college, you'd be a little more independent and you wouldn't get as homesick. Mm-hmm. So I wanted you to practice being away for us. And to tell you the truth, Tori, it was more painful for us than you. Mm. I mean, almost at the last minute, I'm thinking, what am I thinking? But it was practice. It was practice so that you are prepared for the things you're going to face in life. How many people do we know go off to college and come back at Christmas break saying, I don't want to do this anymore. Can I stay home? A lot. Mm-hmm. And a lot more today than usual because they've not been prepared to be emancipated. Mm-hmm. Now, again, let me say, we're still supposed to honor our parents. We are still a family. But part of the parent's job is to help them get past childhood.
I've seen a lot, especially in the Latino culture, the parents don't want to let the child go away to college. And sometimes it's a protection issue. They just think that they're not able to protect their child, even as a young adult. Maybe it's because, like you say, they haven't trained them to be, but there's a legitimate fear there of parents. You know, there's all kinds of crazy things that happen on the college campus. I don't want my girl going, especially girls, not even an hour and a half away. You're going to stay home. You're going to be a commuter student. And that's the end of that. And she ends up saying, well, let me make the best out of the situation and stay home.
And that's great. You know, yeah. That's great. Yeah. If that's what they want. I mean, I was actually the opposite. I made my children go out of college out of the state of Florida. The requirement was out of the state of Florida up to the Mississippi. So one went to Asbury and one went to Taylor, Lexington, Kentucky. And I was very picky with the colleges. I wanted to pick.
But you chose them out?
Were Christmas. No, I gave them some parameters.
Okay.
I allowed Roby to go look at one non-Christian state university, Auburn. Actually, and I heard a lot of great things about the Christian community at Auburn, but I was really praying that he didn't choose Auburn, and he didn't. Mm-hmm. I wanted them to practice being away. Now, I get it, and I get it in the Latino community that, you know, especially my daughter and maybe the first 2 years of college mm-hmm. living out of the home. I think at some point, though, you went to Miami Christian College, but then you went to graduate school in California.
Yeah, I went cross country.
Was that hard for your family?
Yeah, but I was a lot older by then.
The deal. You never see your daughters being a lot older.
Yeah.
You see your daughter different when she gets married. I saw Tori is now a partner in the ministry with me now that she's married. But when mm-hmm. she was not married, she was still, whatever age, she was still 18 to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's something about that father-daughter thing. I think we need to get in our heads, our children are leaving one day. Am I preparing them to leave?
You've been listening to Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries here on Parenting on Purpose. I'm your host, Ruthie J. If you want to find more resources on this idea of emancipation and independence, there is a great resource online called Ready for Responsibility, a book that you can check out. And all the proceeds go to help the children's homes at Sheridan House Family Ministries. That's online at shfm.org. And if you want to hear today's program all over again, share it with someone, even your spouse, comment on it, even download the apps that are now available for your iPhone or Google powered phone. Go to parentingonpurpose.org. We hope you'll join us tomorrow for more on this topic of emancipation and independence here on Parenting on Purpose.